Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I already started recording.
Go ahead and start.
I am recording now. I can see that. I can see it form. Okay.
Sweet. Hello, and welcome to episode 30, even-numbered episode 30 of the Foam News Collective podcast. I'm KT. I'm here with Vile. Grim is supposed to hop in later. Hopefully, he'll make it in as well. It is Wednesday, the 20th of March. Episode comes out in 2 days, so if anything happens on Thursday, too bad. We're here with a very special guest who we've had as a guest on the show extremely recently. It was the last episode, right?
Yep.
Is that the last episode? Time does things. Brett, a.k.a. Beret, welcome to the podcast. How you doing tonight?
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. Let's just dive right in. I always ask people for kind of their background, and I want to do that with you also. How did you get started in the hobby? We were just talking before about how, you know, content creation came relatively late for you relative to getting started in the hobby itself. But, how did you get your start?
I got my start when I was in middle school because I was walking down the toy aisle and I was interested in Legos first and foremost. But as Target or Toys R Us is often moved around, the shelves get moved around. You know, sometimes one side of the aisle is Legos and the other side might be toy blasters. So inevitably, I was looking one direction and did a 180 and saw the other stuff. And the rest is basically history. And that led to my first surprise party Nerf game, which got me playing outside with some friends. And it just really snowballed into my high school days.
Right.
And then that obviously snowballed even further after college. I was going to say through college, but it was a little quieter. We weren't able to start a club so much in college. But I still kept in touch with everything. And then things really started to pick up. So that's what led me to finding a club and really getting more active online. And then, boom, suddenly YouTube.
Yeah, I heard you telling that surprise party story on the World Foam Alliance stream. Great VOD if people want to like get into the weeds on Bray's start in the hobby for sure. So getting into like how much of the YouTube thing were you into before you started doing it? Like what creators were you following? Who sort of like, was there anyone that like sort of made you want to start making videos?
I watched a lot of the old school, like I'd see some reviews from Drac. I do remember seeing his like late night reviews of Toy Fair blasters when that was really like one of the first times you could see things in hands. I'm sure he really enjoyed doing that at the time too, because you know, things were a lot more exciting back then, I would argue. But also I remember seeing stuff from Coop. I saw early Coop, I saw late Coop. So I've seen many asides of a Coop 772. I remember, I think his name is Ice on Nerf Haven, but he went by something else on YouTube. Man, if only I'd written this down. And then I do remember like Bobo Lolo also popped up into my awareness, and he obviously had some pretty hilarious videos. He and Nom, Nervomania, I remember those pretty fondly. And maybe some other like onesie twosie content creators. I saw Gun versus Gun when they were first starting out. You can't take that away from me. Whether they were good or bad, I saw their first videos and they posted about them on some forum and I saw it and I was like, you guys are gonna do great. Man, I should have shut up. But so I watched a lot of things in the early days. But yeah, at the time I was much, much younger. So it wasn't like a wow, me being like a little high schooler, I'm going to do this. Because at the time, too, it was like I didn't feel comfortable traveling to certain events because I was so young and the internet was still in a time when you weren't able to put a face to some of these events or the people that would be at the events. So it was also going to be hard to convince my parents to like drive an hour somewhere else where I was like, oh, who are you going to be with? I don't know.
Yeah.
Nerf. Who's
it's
that?
Just a bunch
challenge.
Of adults. We're just going to meet up. Don't
yeah,
worry
yeah.
about it.
They're like twice my age, maybe three times. I don't know. They like the they got the blaster, the new thing. I just want to see that. And you're like, oh, you know, I, oops.
Yeah, I have a really distinct memory of I was really into the Star Trek customizable card game when that was a thing. This is like mid-90s, I guess. And I have a distinct memory of my mom taking me to a tournament that was quite a ways away from where we lived. And I was the only kid there. But, like, everyone was really cool. And we just played the game for a few hours and then I left. But, like, not a guaranteed experience by
yeah,
any means.
Definitely.
It's fun to hear you mention Bobololo, too, because I think, you know, for his era where he was, like, really making a lot of content, he was sort of the joker of the online Nerf scene in a lot of ways, I think. Obviously, everybody was incorporating humor into their videos in various ways, but he made a lot of content that was
yes,
very focused on the humor. And I think a decent number of people see you that way in the current content creation scheme. It's interesting because you also, like, do – you know, I feel like you're as known for your – abilities on the field as you are for your humor, which puts you in kind of a unique spot. Do you think that he sort of inspired you to do some of the sort of like funnier, sillier stuff that you do, or was there like an outside influence to that?
I could certainly see it. Now that you say it out loud, it's hard to pinpoint any one person like in the Nerf hobby that I might have watched and been like, oh yeah, I definitely pulled all my inspiration from that. Because when I first started like really making videos after, was it like 2017, which to answer one of the previous questions officially, it was kind of once I started seeing Walcom and Captain Xavier making videos in person and helping out, then I was like, oh, okay, let's get this started. So it led to being a bit more attractive once I got to see it more in person. But yeah, I realized that I had the knowledge from years prior, from seeing all the blasters, and then I just wanted to make stuff that I would have enjoyed at that age. And yeah, in some cases, it was like some of the stuff that Bobo made, the goofy humor. Some of his videos are, well, you know what? Screw it. All of his videos would still be pretty funny if you watch them these days, whether he would agree with that or not. Some of those are timeless. So I could certainly see that as being an inspiration, whether or not I picked it up at the time. And I'm just trying to think, like, I think we, myself and a couple other high school friends, just the things we watched at the time, that classic, like, early 2010s humor, is that classic? Maybe not. Whatever it was, it stuck. And it's we just something. Liked being, you know, we liked that kind of older style of Nerf that we got into the hobby with and then just shared where it was, yeah, you're running around on the field pretty goofy with stuff that might not be super powerful. But that's half the fun. And so I just yes, wanted to incorporate that into the videos, and having many years of playing under my belt meant that I could do that in a pretty unique way and sometimes offer a unique perspective of mixing, yeah, like that comedy with gameplay where
right,
you're like, I'm going to throw myself into this game pretty hard because that'll be funny. And I'm using
right,
something that isn't great, but I have experience with it. So I actually know how to use this.
I'd run that in a war series, stuff like that, where it's just sort of like forcing yourself to use something ridiculous for the comedic value.
Indeed.
Yeah. So speaking of that, I wanted to dig in a little bit on, we talked about this with Captain Xavier a bunch when we had Shalo on the podcast. We talked about sort of the divide between, and with him, it's very distinct, right? Like Captain Xavier is a character, and it's really fun to go to an HVZ and interact with him as Captain Xavier. How much of a character, because obviously you have Bert. Bert is like intentionally ridiculous and very clearly a character.
But even then,
I wonder what
is that the actual one?
Well, so that's what I kind of want to get into a little bit, right? Like, how different is Brett from Beret? And like, is Bert like a part of that you're just kind of like letting out, or is it just, you know, like how much of a face are you putting on? We all put on a face on camera, right? We're all to some degree playing a character when we get in front of a camera and we do YouTube,
right?
So I'm curious where that line is for you.
The line would definitely start at when you put the beret on, because that's the costume, right? I've always kind of seen that as like the costume that comes with, the character. I'd like to imagine that it's similar to my normal self, and one could argue that over the years, my regular Brett self has been influenced by my, practicing on YouTube, making videos, interacting with more people, being a bit more extroverted, because this is the most extroverted I ever am. I'm a bit more reserved in person and in like daily life that doesn't involve Nerf, because regular life is boring and Nerf is less boring. That's a hot take, I know. But the
I'm quoting you on that.
Yeah, I'd like to imagine that they kind of like balance each other out a little bit. There's obviously some character, that's for sure. And then sometimes there are videos I'll be making and I'm like, I want to be more expressive, and I look back and I'm like, oh, I was monotone the whole time, but I thought I was expressing. I thought I was emoting. It's like, so I guess I wasn't putting on as much of a character that time. So it kind of comes in and out, but I'd like to imagine it's similar. And I can also back that up by saying that I'll go to events sometimes and I won't bring the beret. I know, shocking. I want to go incognito sometimes. And then some people will, who maybe don't know me in person, and or maybe it's their first event, or they actually, just don't know me in general, they will come up to me later and be like, are you the YouTuber, like, Bray? Because, like, I recognize your voice. And they're like, well, yeah, I guess so. Like, don't you wear a beret? It's like, sometimes. Gotcha. So, yeah. I'd like to imagine people...
It is in the quote. That is the thing
It is in
say.
The quote. Yes, it is the words. He said the thing. I would like to imagine that the way that I kind of act around other people, and then if you compare the voice to the YouTube channel, to what you sometimes will watch, that people will kind of pick up on, like, oh, yeah, that's the same person. I try to emulate similar energy. I would argue sometimes in person it's worse. Like, sometimes I'm a bigger goofball in person.
Yeah.
And that's bad. I should probably scale that down. but yeah, I've kind of balanced it. Like, it's a little bit off from my usual self, but I think it still represents myself if I'm feeling goofy, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think part of what I've always really enjoyed about your content is you have like a really deadpan delivery, and then you'll like flip a switch almost to like react to things. I just really enjoy it. It you make me laugh a lot.
That's a good point. I did have someone in college say that I was too sarcastic, and that really turned them off, but they were equally sarcastic, so I took that as like a, I don't know, like a battle cry. They felt threatened. So I don't know how much I can like take that seriously looking back all these years.
But it is sarcasm.
Yeah, I recognize that sometimes I do need to make it clear when I'm being sarcastic. Sometimes it does confuse people, especially when you're online. So we're always trying to improve ourselves, and that's one for me.
I imagine I already know the answer to this, but do you think you get more satisfaction out of silly gameplay or like more competitive, higher level, skill level gameplay?
Because of how I got into things and how much of an impact that's had leading up to this point, I will probably skew it a little bit more towards the silly, but I also recognize that it's nice to have a balance. Like, if I was just doing silly, that could be fun, but you also need the right events. And a lot of the events I go to now are not conducive to that. I don't want to just be the guy that goes to something like, okay, it's a 220 FPS. Brett, what have you got? Brett, you're killing me. Like, we're literally not going to pick you for teams if you keep doing this.
Right.
I don't want to get to a point where people are like just expecting what stupid loadout is he bringing, because they already do that. But I want there to sometimes be hope that I'm going to bring something normal, which I do still do, because I do enjoy getting to practice at something that I have less experience with. That's just the honest truth. And so I appreciate having those opportunities now, especially with like more competitive, like literal competitive games that pushed me to try and, you know, be a bit more decisive about moves on the field with a team. Because when it comes to running goofy loadouts, you often use your team to your advantage. And when it comes to creating content based off of those games, you play in a very different way. It's a very selfish way. It is not very team conducive. So yes, it is nice to have a balance, but I do enjoy goofy, obviously. If I had to choose, I'd probably go that way. But I think the best way to sum it up is, you know, if you give me something, I will go play, because the goal for me is just that, play.
That makes sense to me. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I was expecting, where it's more about, like, what is the opportunity? Like, how can I participate in what's going on most effectively for me and for everyone else and have a really good time? I want to pivot to our first topic from the news, which sort of ties into this, you know, normal-ish blasters. I guess this is sort of a borderline blaster.
Normal, quote unquote.
Well, yeah. You know, when I say that, like, we keep coming back to this. It's like, yes, another primary class Springer, competitive Springer, has entered the field. And I guess Realm is a little, because it's bolt action, like, it's a little bit on the playful side. You know, there's an increasing number of these blasters that are like, the numbers are like competitive numbers. But they're also a little bit like, well, it doesn't really have to be this style of like weird blaster, but it is anyway for fun. But I'm a little curious to chat about and get your thoughts on Realm. Have you checked this out, Beret?
I have looked a little bit into it.
Yeah, but one of the things that's interesting about it that has been coming up for us a lot is it's a design that's being imported from the Chinese market, which is, you know, initially when it was shown to us, it was like, oh, here's this thing. Oh, it doesn't look like anyone's going to be able to make it available. Blast Pro Shop is now, is doing a production run of them that is shipping from within the U.S. And on some level, it is like another primary class Springer, but also, you know, it's a little bit different, and it's interesting that it's kind of coming from an outside. How often do you go through a new sort of like competitive main blaster?
I don't. I mean, I think, yeah, I'm looking at a picture of it. It looks cool. And there are so many cool things coming from the other side of the world, from where we live. And I think that is quite interesting. And I think that as we get more fun stuff that target the competitive scene, you know, it just makes more unique loadouts available. That's good. But yeah, it's for me, it's not targeted towards me. Let's say that. And that doesn't have to be a bad thing. It's just it's a blaster that I probably wouldn't find myself gravitating towards. I'm sure I'd love to use it, but it's not something that I would seek out to, like, I must have this for my next game so I can dominate the field, so I can dominate my opponents, as some people like to say. That was actually my, like, college, the guy at my college who ran the games department, who denied us an application for our club, who said, we think that the goal is to dominate other people for Nerf games, so that's why you can't have this. Tangent, but I had to get that off my chest. What a dumb thing to say.
No.
Anyways, back to this.
There's a good place to put that out. Put that out in the world.
Yeah, people need to know. Yeah, the humble pump action Springers, right? I think that the more we get into those, it is good to have that continued competition, because it breeds the innovation and it breeds more price points that people can then pick and choose from, which have like their costs and benefits, and especially because, as we've seen over the years, you know, those options might disappear. They're not always going to be on the shelf, or online availability will change. So I think it's cool to see new stuff, for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I find myself so far for competitive stuff, I will stick with one or two things. And now that there are really good options that are not 3D printed, if I find a good injection molded blaster, that means that if something goes wrong, something goes haywire, or I just need a backup of something, and I can get another one that should be the exact same from like a reputable distributor, then I guess I'm golden. I don't have a 3D printer, so that's not in my like usual awareness. So yeah, I'm kind of the worst person for people to sell comp blasters to. Let's just call it that.
I think that's actually a really important voice. I really appreciate your videos that you do usually every year-ish, going through your entire collection. And the fact that you can do that in one video, Vile and I can't do that. Yeah. Right, Vile?
No, I can't. I definitely can't.
And I mean, Vile is a modder, right? Like, Vile is constantly going through.
Are you calling me not a modder?
I mean, no, but
no,
Vile, you should.
Call me not a modder.
But unlike you, Vile is a modder, and so he's going through stuff all the time, right? But mm-hmm. I mean, I don't have a good excuse. I'm in the process of trying to get rid of a bunch of stuff, but I really appreciate you being out there, being like, yes, like I'm recognized for like using all this weird stuff and like being competitively effective. I have these like multiple bins, and I kind of think I have too much stuff. And I think it's really good for people to see that, because not everybody has to have the giant piles of things that many of us can sort of gather.
And that list would change if I did it like right now or in another month. So it is, of course, like it's hard to look at it. I know it almost feels like cheating on my end, but it is funny. Yeah. When you look back, like, wow, I used all, because I made a list before I made that video from 2023. Mm-hmm. Of like all the blasters I used in that year, and then you pull everything out of the bins and you're like, that's right, that disappeared a week after I used it. That disappeared at the event I used it.
Right.
Bye. Like, hope the footage was good. But also at the same time, it's like, if that's a blaster I can still get off the store shelves, like, what is the cost benefit of me keeping it versus like asking to borrow one later? If I'm actively going to events where I know one might be available, or literally just cost $25 to bring that back to circulation, for me, that is something to consider. But again, my circumstances different than everyone else's.
I'm kind of thinking maybe I'll bring some extra stuff to Mayhem and just give it to people.
Oh no! Oh, I thought you were going to say give it to me. I was worried. Your Gjallarhorn doing right now?
That's a good leaning up against the wall. Actually,
mine's hanging on the wall right behind me.
Yeah. That's kind of what they do. I honestly, I wouldn't, if I were you. I love that I own it, but I don't know what else I'm going to do with it until I've never edited the video that I took with it. I'm glad you got footage out of it, because I was trying to get, Maritime Foam was supposed to send me his perspective, because he was on the other side of the line in that game. I was doing the whatever they called it, Revolutionary War or whatever.
Where that's the two right. Lines. You were the last to use it.
I was like the last person alive on my line, and I had no legs, and I was trying to load the Gjallarhorn with one arm, and nobody could hit me, and I managed to take out like three people somehow with that thing, but I was just like rolling around and trying to grab Mega XL darts, because that was the easiest shell to load. Anyway, one of these days I'll get the foam from Maritime. If you're listening to this, send me that footage.
Otherwise, you're going to have to redo it. I mean, we've got an event coming up. Because if there's no footage, it didn't happen. That's the rule.
Listen, I'm bringing extra stuff for the Foam News Collective table. I don't think the Gjallarhorn is going to make it in the car this time.
It's understandable.
What was I actually going to say, though? Oh, both of you, if there's a game tomorrow, what blaster are you grabbing for it?
Ooh. Do we have
like
any
a competitive game?
Okay, competitive.
What
That's
do you,
what, I
what
was
do you actually have that you're going to be like, okay, well, this is going to be my like main tool that you already have, something you already have?
I mean, Harrier and my Strife X, most likely. Knowing our FPS caps, that seems to typically make sense. And if it's a split cap, that's pretty safe for Flywheel.
I'd probably grab my Phoenix and. If my arm was up for it, because I have an injured shoulder right now, but if my arm was up for it, probably my Lynx.
Okay. I don't know what I'd do. I'd probably grab my skewer just because I'm comfortable with it. It's not the, you know, it's not the perfect competitive blaster, but I'm comfortable with it.
But that's what's most important. Like using something you're comfortable with is way more important than, what's the FPS cap? I must hit that number, as I've definitely learned. If I can... I found that sometimes people claim they can get the Harrier up to X number, and you're like, that's crazy. I can't see that far away. So what good would that do for me?
Well, that was me running the Phoenix at a 220 game. a stock Phoenix. It wasn't even, you know, hitting hotter than 150s, maybe 160s on a couple of hot ends, and it was still doing, it was doing fine because it's all close quarters. I don't need that 220. And I was enjoying myself. I was having fun. I was getting, you know, I was getting hits. Didn't matter.
Close quarters is the great equalizer. That is definitely when you have those games coming up. That's when I know that it is my time.
Makes sense. Next up, we have a thing that we do. We have a Ko-Fi, and our subscribers to our Ko-Fi get every episode to ask a question of our podcast guest. And even though I was really late asking them for questions, a few of them returned really good questions, actually. Really good and or funny questions. If you, dear listener, are interested in asking our guests questions that they can't refuse, be sure to check out our Ko-Fi links below, blah, blah, blah. You know the drill. First up, we have a question from Ghost Armory on Discord. With all the issues developing with gel ball blasters, has your opinion on the gel ball market changed since your videos on them?
Really? A gel ball question that I can't ignore?
I was really thankful that Ghost asked this question, because I like kind of was going to put it on the outline, and I was like, I really don't want to. But then it got asked as a question, so now I can wash my hands of it.
It's 2024, and people still associate me with gel? Oh, my gosh. Have I really failed this? Oh, no. That's a bad sign already. Well, I'd like to actually answer. I'd like to imagine that at this point, where I left my investigation, my deep dive, not too deep, dive into gel was pretty logical. Like, I kind of saw something through. You know, I attacked the gel ball turn. I don't even remember what it was called now. It hasn't really been that long. I did that thing because it made sense as, like, a small content creator involved, like, with Nerf toys, and 9 people entered this competition, so I thought that was hilarious. Mm-hmm. And then I saw a few things that were tangentially related, and then I said, okay, we're done. I've reached the logical conclusion, and this thing fires rival, but that's about as far as I go. And I have not touched anything since. Seeing all of the crazy, legal stuff now, and kind of, you know, I obviously pay attention to it. I just don't dive too deep into it, because I do see kind of the headline of, oh, it's gel ball. Nice to know. But seeing it now, I'm like, I guess my opinions haven't changed too much, because I'd like to imagine that my opinion ended at, this isn't really for me, but I don't hate it, because I still have never gotten a chance to go to a legitimate, like, gel ball game and really experience what I would consider to be, like, peak gel ball gameplay, because that probably would have hooked me better if I had actually gotten a taste of it. And now, I mean, I still don't see it too much. I haven't actively sought it out. And if anything, it's like Nerf is really trying to swing their weight around with it, which makes me still not care, because their stuff was safe enough, but also, is this Nerf, right? Like, the same reservations I had then are present now. And I guess if anything, I care less, because I see what they've tried to do.
You know, someone asked in our YouTube comments recently, like, why do we ever cover gel? Like, it's not part of the foam flinging hobby. And we've had a lot of those conversations on the backside of the show. Why, like, do we need to cover this? Do we need to spend time on this? And what we kind of finally came around to is, it's like, if we feel like it affects Nerf, the company, and what they are likely to do, like where their R&D is going, where their money is going, where they're planning on going with the brand, we feel like it's relevant. But like, covering the release of every individual gel fire blaster or every individual, you know, whatever, it's kind of like, we're not interested in doing that, and it's very obvious that we're not having a good time doing that. And why? Because it's not really relevant to the thing that we do. Gel is just such a different, you know, Luke was on recently and was saying that, you know, he had experiences with it, and it was just like, the gameplay is just not as fun.
What? He told me he loves Jill. That's really weird that he would tell you that. That's bizarre.
Maybe he's finally drank too many of the gelats and has changed his mind.
That'll get you.
I've never hydrated a gelat. Not a single one.
Wow.
I have a bag.
The last time I did, it ruined the dishware that I put it in. I put it in like a glass pan to like make a bunch of them for one I got sent. It left like this film and residue in there that we can't get out. That's like just completely ruined.
Oh my God.
It ruined like, because I was trying to make a bunch of them for the video. So I put it in two cups and a dishware, and it broke it. Like it ruined the dishware and the two glasses that it was
Grim's
in.
Entrance into the podcast. I ruined our dishwares good. With gelats. Perfect. What a great way to pop in. Grim's welcome in.
Gel ruined my life.
Yeah, gel balls ruined my life and my dishware.
Wow, we already have three potential podcast titles. Anyway, and that's such an interesting thing too. We were just talking on the Discord about the sort of unknown environmental impacts of gel. Mm-hmm. They claim that
one
they're,
thing I have experienced. They don't disintegrate. Right, they'll just keep
reinflate
back smaller and smaller.
They
and smaller.
Reinflate. Jolt talked about this on an episode way, 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 way long ago about having some of those bigger ones, and they got like chucked in his driveway, mm-hmm, and then mm-hmm. they just came back when it rained. And it's like,
so there were ones back when exploders. So this is like 2009, mm-hmm. I want to say. So we got those years ago, right? And for years thereafter, until I'm assuming just cars out in the driveway just kept pushing the sediments away, they just kept appearing back years later.
Yeah.
Even in the grass out in the front yard where I played with it with my friends and other stuff. Years later, we were still having the gelats keep like regrowing to these tiny little specks that you'd find.
Well, yeah. So anyway, you know, we can dart sweep. You can't gel sweep, etc. This mm-hmm. is enough time on gel. I don't want to, but... You
they
know.
Are literally Nerf Pro. That was the first Nerf Pro line. Nerf made it very difficult to distinguish between them using the rival Picatinny rail. And they've made it hard. They wanted to keep it in the realm of discussion.
And I think, that's a big part, I think, of why a lot of creators have wound up covering it to some degree or another. That I mean, you know, if you are one of the creators that receives products from Nerf, they're sending you the gel products, and you sort of have a weird obligation to make videos about it. Now all the smaller creators feel like they have to go buy one of them and talk about it. Yeah. So, y'all, you don't have to. It's fine. I give you permission to not cover gel stuff.
I straight up pulled my videos on them because I remembered, these things just stick around. They're not environmentally friendly at all. I don't feel good with having this on my channel. The video is private now.
Yeah. Makes sense. Okay. Next question. From Klein, aka Blaster Time. Dilemma. The Walmart tank is your only car that you're allowed to use, or you have to be Bert 24/7. Which do you choose?
Well,
I'm going to add a slight caveat to this, that somehow magically the tank functioning the way that it's designed is still able to like get you to the places you need to be.
Ooh. Well, fun fact, and definitely a coincidence, I just finished another short involving a Thunder Tank, and it goes live tomorrow, which will be in the past when this goes live, so that's hilarious.
Awesome.
But to actually answer the question, being Bert 24/7 is probably the easy choice because you just turn your brain off a little bit and get a little snarky. So I suppose, therefore, it would be more unique and more fun to... you know, drive around with a legendary, very highly rated, does not break on you Walmart Thunder Tank as your only vehicle. And I guess, yeah. And if anyone gets in your way, you just fire like the main cannon, as long as you're like 5 feet away, 5-10 feet.
All right. Fair enough. What does that thing actually shoot? I feel like I haven't.
Big tank shells that are look like foam, mostly foam.
Interesting.
It holds like five of them.
Banshee could probably confirm, because I know Banshee has one.
Oh, really?
Like his kid, I believe, has one, if I recall correctly. This was like a year ago. I remember him talking about this, so I'll have to confirm, but I'm pretty sure it's Banshee.
I didn't realize we had someone in our cadre that actually possessed this mythical item.
One day.
All right. Cool. Next question, if we want to call it a question, comes from Gopher, a stalwart supporter of the show and of Vilestream. And he writes, "Dear Brett, I wrote you, but you still ain't calling. I left my cell, my Discord, and my home phone at the bottom. I sent two letters back in autumn. You must not have got them. There probably was a problem at the post office or something. Sometimes I scribble addresses too sloppy when I jot them. But anyways, fuck it. What's been up, man? How's your corgi? I know you probably hear this every day, but I'm your biggest fan. I got a room full of your posters and your pictures, man. I even got the underground shit that you did with Drac. Anyways, I hope you get this, man. Hit me back. Just to chat, truly yours, your biggest fan, this is Gopher."
The fuck? You said it first, so I'm going to say it again. What? There's a reference. Is there a ref? What?
Oh, you don't.
Wait a minute. No, I don't. How am I not getting? Oh, am I, man, too old or too young? Funnier. Which
I,
one is it?
I mean,
you should be right at the perfect.
No,
age. Yeah.
That's not an option. I don't know what it's from.
I don't know. Grimm is too young. But Grimm knows it.
Yeah, I know.
I was going to say.
Whoa.
It's the song that Eminem did with Dido. It's called, what's it? It's called Stan.
Stan.
I think.
Yeah, Stan.
It's about like an obsessive Eminem fan, fictional obsessive Eminem. I mean, I think it was kind of based on like people he saw sort of like copying his style.
Yeah, it was basically a critique of people idolizing. Yeah.
But his
things.
He just slightly modified one of the lyrics.
Yeah, I picked up on that.
I switched two lines to fix the rhyming scheme because he took a line out.
Mm.
Gopher, take a music lesson. Come on. It took me a minute to get into the voice. It took me a minute to like get into the flow of it. But anyway,
no, I picked up on it immediately. That was superb.
Yeah.
That was superb.
I guess, yeah, that was right outside of my realm of expertise. Also, that was a question, right? That technically wasn't. You don't have to say it again. that was a question.
Well,
at the very least,
there was a "How's your corgi?"
Yeah, he's fine. He's locked out of the room so that he can't participate.
Fair I enough. Was in VC with Gopher while he was writing that, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Writing it, a.k.a. copy, paste, and replacing four
words.
Yeah,
a few lines, because I read it afterwards, and I was laughing. I was like, I can't believe you did that. And he just started laughing, and it was just like, oh, my God.
Whatever. Yeah. He knew I'd read it.
Yeah, he did.
He knew I'd read it. Additionally, we have given a question to for their endless service to the collective. Axel Sorax, one of our Discord moderators, we have given a bonus question here. As a newbie to the competitive scene, actually, I should say Axel is, as we record this, on, or was, I guess, on the call representing, what is the team called? Uno Reverse, the one of the other Uno teams that they're playing on. As a newbie to the competitive scene, what advice can you offer to ensure effective communication against teammates? Also, when does the soreness stop? Lol.
You shouldn't have mentioned that first part, because I don't actually know how the matches have stacked up. So am I supposed to give good advice, or am I supposed to give slightly wrong advice and just call it an oops? I think we're within a month, so... If I say practice is the easy answer and you haven't practiced yet, then what are you going to do about it? But that is, it's kind of the truth. Like, practicing everything is what's going to get you more comfortable with your team. You know, if it's the same people you're going to be playing with, practice that communication. You lay out the words you're going to use, the identifiers, because it's going to be different for all the teams, but you don't have to use the same stuff as other teams. Granted, they're probably not even going to tell you what they're going to use. It's going to be what makes sense for you guys. You know, you want enough information that it's easy to remember, because in the moment, it's going to go all out your ear if you don't have some of those keywords like memorized and like down a little bit from like the slightest bit of practice, whether that's just looking it over again leading up to the day of, or it's because you did a drill and you're like, oh yeah, that's right. And like you find the people that you're best at communicating with. Maybe you guys stick together because it's like, yeah, trying to communicate between a bunch of people and then you add distance, it's going to get unique. Let's call it that. So laying out good communication as early as you can and then just kind of going over with that group of people what makes sense is probably going to put you in the best chances to do well. Because the worst thing that can happen is that you get confused in the moment. And if you're trying to decipher something and then you get tagged out, that doesn't feel good.
There you go. Go win some games.
Yeah. If we're playing each other, then I don't know.
Then try not to listen. Do the opposite. Do all opposite.
Tunnel vision. Only tunnel vision. Do what you got to do. Ignore your team.
Spin in a circle three times.
Break all bonds of fellowship. Yep. Just go out on your own. You'll do great.
One rush the flag. Bring it back to your base.
Perfect. Finally, we have a question from Ox, who was the person selected for our last trivia game, which we'll do just after this. But Ox's question is, if you had to pick a different hat to build your identity around, what would it be?
I have thought about this before. The reason that Beret was indeed chosen, as I've said before, is because it's close to my name. So it was like you scratch one letter off, you replace it with another. It's not too difficult. I did think before that the generic option was also not bad. Like calling yourself Hat gives you the ability to use any hat, right? Because then you don't have to specify. You just show up with Hat and you're like, oh, it's Hat. Boring, right? I guess like the... the default like baseball cap has made it easy to like wear GoPros or other recording devices during games.
Right.
So like I don't want to call that the answer, because also calling yourself Cap might be some confusion if you did that. That sounds too much like Captain Xavier.
So hobby.
Let's not do that. But the obviously there are plenty of other weird options, so you could go much further into a goofy, like, what is that, like, little helicopter blade on your head. But then people might not take you seriously.
Propeller hats.
So hat, I mean, hat is the generic answer, but that makes it easy. So you could kind of wear whatever hat, and then you are just, you are Hat Man. Because people always call me Funny Hat Man, too. So it's
funny Hat Man or Man with Hat or all sorts of stuff.
So you see, he already exists. He's out there. Go find him.
What? I mean, how much did you think out your character before you started filming? It seems like you put some thought into it.
The story I usually give is that one of my first games with others, like at a community event, I had picked out two unique pieces to wear that would be my flair for an event. One was a beret, because, as mentioned, sounds like my name. The other was a gas mask, because that looks cool. Which one do you think stuck? Which one was better to wear in a game? Correct. That's the fair. Gas mask.
Yes. Those specific black tactical pants.
Yes.
Were in all the old ones.
Ah, yes.
So that one kind of went away. Also, some people thought it was a little like weird to wear that around for, not my breathing. They didn't care about that. They thought it might be a bad look for the school we were playing at. I don't know what they were talking about, but yeah.
It's just Fallout stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, speaking of the trivia game winners, we play this trivia game now where we make our guests answer weird questions. And, you know, premise of this game is you are playing not for your own benefit, but for the benefit of someone randomly selected off of a little list on our Discord. If you are interested in getting a chance to ask this free question of one of our guests, hop in our Discord and watch for the like one time that I tag everyone every 2 weeks when it's an opportunity to enter this drawing. And you too could be like this Fortnite's winner, General Strife. Known for also making some news videos somewhat recently, and you know, often around in chats, a young creator who will, if Beret is able to get 2 out of 3 trivia questions right, will get the opportunity to ask a question of our next guest. And our next guest is actually a returning guest. It's Boomstick Mods, but this time it will be right before, a little bit before Maryland Mayhem, and we'll be talking about that and how that's going.
And I should actually be in the podcast this time.
You're in the podcast right now.
Yeah, you just...
No, I'm at the last
time. Oh,
yeah,
that's Boomstick right. You weren't here with us with Boomstick. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's
Yeah.
But for our trivia game today, you are the man with the hat. But how much do you know about the brand with the cat? That's right. We'll be asking you questions about Orion Blasters and the Lynx.
Oh.
You know a decent amount about the Lynx.
Oh.
Right?
I was really convinced you were about to do something like Cat in the Hat, and then I realized this is technically still about the hobby. So, yeah.
No, no, no. We do keep them. I was looking back on your original video about the Lynx, which was one of your videos.
Underrated. That's a way
to put it.
Video. Sure.
No, that's good. Yeah. How much do you feel like you know about it?
Dan, he's tall, so yeah.
There is a question about Dan.
Okay, I'm ready. Actually, let's not make any promises.
All right. Who wants to go first? Grim or Vile?
I can go, I guess.
All right, go Vile.
Just throw my head in there. All right. After a year in beta, the official release of the Lynx 2.0 was announced on This Week in Nerf on October 5th, 2020. What was the colorway of the prototype Lynx that Addy held in that episode? Was it...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, was it A, pink and baby blue, Dauntless colors, B, orange, one single color, or was it C, rainbow, whatever filament was left over?
Ooh. That, man, there are a few different ways to approach that. When you said Dauntless, that sounded correct. However, I feel like that is misleading. Or, no. Do I remember this?
That was almost 4 years ago.
Yeah, come on, guys.
It's a while.
I'm old now.
I mean, God,
you know,
that was almost 4 years ago.
It's a prototype.
A prototype. So, okay. So you said the prototype for the Lynx 2.0, right?
So the blaster was actually the prototype that she already had.
She already had. Okay.
It was not actually a 2.0. She was just holding it because she was talking about the Lynx, and then there were pictures of the Lynx.
Pictures of the Lynx. Did you say it was
but
the
it was
thumbnail
when,
or it was just in the video?
It was not in the thumbnail.
It was not in the thumbnail.
It was just in the video.
Yeah, held it in the episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I shouldn't promise that it's not in the thumbnail. I don't think it was in the thumbnail, though.
Shoot. I mean, is it rainbow?
That is a common way for prototypes to happen.
If not, it's bright orange then.
Is that your final answer?
Sure.
So you go with B, orange? That would be correct.
Okay.
The secret to this is that we want you to win.
So. And yeah.
Although that Dauntless one,
that was a very good. I looked at these answers because I'm getting here a little late, and I immediately was like, "Oh, these are good." All right, I'll go next with number 2. According to Radioactive's chart of comparative plunger tube volumes, which of the following blasters has a larger plunger tube volume than the Lynx 2.0's 0.84 centimeters cubed?
Don't accidentally read the answers. I just want to give you a warning because I totally would accidentally read the answers. You know, see what I mean?
No, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Is it A, the skewer by Taffy of Caramel Designs? Is it B, Captain Slug's Piranha? Or is it C, the Nerf Longshot?
So when Luke was on, I was able to answer his questions. Listening to him, I knew where he made a mistake. This was not that timeline. What? Why am I so out of
hopefully, hopefully Luke is listening right now and
no.
Like,
I'm going to tell him it was a bad episode. Don't listen. I'm going to text him right now. Oh my. If it was a long shot, that would be really funny. But I don't. Can I cheat? I don't have a long shot. Darn. You said Nerf long shot or X shot long shot?
So the potential answers are A, the skewer, B, Captain Slug's Piranha, or C, the Nerf long shot.
Oh my god. I'm looking at one of them. That doesn't help. Oh no.
You can't really see the long shot.
It's covered in hands. That's a bad choice.
I forgot about that one.
Odd aside,
but one of my friends has the original.
I know who has the original too, and I'm sad that I was not able to scoop it, but I also wasn't at the event, so I am also delaying answer to this question because I do not know, because that is not something I usually pay attention to.
So I do think this question could be logicked out, and I did know that this is not something I usually pay attention to, but I do think that you can logic out this question.
What I'm hearing is that you're calling me dumb, and that's fair.
No. If it helps, I don't think I would have been able to answer this question either.
As previously stated, you are not a modder.
Yeah, I have not paid attention to this stuff in a while. I have not owned a piranha in ages. So if it was the piranha, that would be... That's a unique one to include. That's also a fish.
It's true. The other ones are not fish.
Although
you could put fish like on a skewer for barbecuing, but then the long shot's kind
of... You
could
put hands on a skewer, too.
It's true.
Can I just lean towards the skewer for that reason? Just got these hands.
You can say whatever you want, but you got to choose something at some point.
Can I just say skewer?
Is that your final answer? You would be incorrect.
Good. Let's move on to the third one.
The answer is B, Captain Slug's Piranha.
Okay.
The plunger tube volumes are as follows. The skewer has a plunger tube volume of 80.9. The piranha has a plunger tube volume of 115.6, and the long shot has a plunger tube volume of 74.
Okay, the piranha was long. That's...
Well, the piranha, the thing about the piranha is it has turnarounds, and it was such a... someone's probably going to be yelling at their phone or whatever right now, but I'm pretty sure that it just has a bigger plunger tube volume because the design is just like inefficient.
Because I don't remember it having like crazy FPS.
Yeah, he was trying to do something really crazy, and at a certain point, it was just like, just make the plunger tube bigger and make it just like force the air through to make it work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I had Drax Piranha that he used in his original video, and I gave it to Taffy at the last Mayhem. Because, you know, the red herring
it kind of surprises me that the long shot has the smallest plunger tube volume, but now that I think about it, comparing the numbers, it actually makes sense.
Mm. Well, because we think about the long shot in terms of, like, what modders want it for its big plunger tube. Relative to the things that were available at the time, it's a huge plunger tube, right? All the other blasters are, like,
Comparatively speaking, there's a lot of space still in the shell.
Right. We have one more. If you can get this one correct, General Strife will get to ask a question of our next guest. So, you know, of course, nice, easy, simple, obvious question. From a random old message in the Orion Blasters Discord. What internet famous musician is Dan of Orion Blasters a big fan of? Is it A, Jack Conte of Pomplamoose and Patreon, B, Jacob Collier, or C, Heinbach?
I'm really glad that we started off with some fun topics because I don't know what you people thought you were doing, bringing me in here today and just grilling me over actual grill of like charred remains of a Nerf long shot.
I could not answer this question. I spent a lot of time in Orion Discord. I have no idea what the answer to this
is. I will give you a hint. The hint is that there is a hint that has gone through all of the questions leading up to this question.
I see it.
I already forgot what the three options were.
A, Jack Conte, B, Jacob Collier, C, Heinbach. And to recap, the answers to the other two questions were B, orange, single color, for the Lynx. And for the Plunger Tube volumes, it was B, Captain Slug Piranha. So is it A, B, or C?
Yep. It sure is one of those.
Okay. How can I give this away to you more easily?
So the answer is in the previous questions.
Yes. There
is a recurring theme between all of these, and it relates to you.
Evidently. Is it? So the answers again were B, orange, mm-hmm. B, Captain Slug, Piranha. And then now I'm asking you, is it A, Jack Conte, B, Jacob Collier, or C, Heinbach?
See, I don't know who any of those people are.
You don't have to. It doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter.
It's unrelated.
You said you were disorganized for today. You have no idea how scrambled my head is right now. I'm going to look back at this later and be like, wow, idiot.
No, you're good. You're good. All right. I'll explain it one more time. The previous answers to the other two questions were B, orange. And then the second question is B, Captain Slug's Piranha. So is this one A, Jack Conte, B, Jacob Collier, or C, Heinbach?
Oh, like caveman brain. Okay, is it B?
That is a yes. It is B, Jack Collier, B for Beret.
Yes! I didn't even think of that. That's what the B was for. Oh my god!
Look, you just had to bring out Bert for a minute.
I'm gonna uninstall my life.
When I realized what the recurring theme here was, I was trying not to laugh because I was like, oh no, that's gonna give it
away.
I've
been having to mute myself because I was laughing so much.
I was still on Cat in the Hat.
Oh my god.
Or I was like, orange fish Garfield.
I was trying to be like B orange B Captain Slug. Anyway, we got there.
I tuned out that part.
Sorry to do that bit to you, though.
Oh, God.
No, I'm not sorry at all. This is, I had to do it to him. I always got to do it to him. That's what this game is about.
Oh, my God.
True. Congratulations, General Strife. If you're still listening to this podcast at this point, even if you're not, you get to ask a question of our next guest, Boomstick. So start pondering that. Thank
torture
you for playing our
Neil. Please torture him. Share this suffering.
We weren't doing this game yet when he was on last.
That's a good point. He's going to be
fun. We get our chance.
This will be fun.
He'll be under enough stress when you get him because Marilyn Mayhem will be right around the corner.
Mm-hmm. I know. Mm-hmm. I know.
Just push him a little bit and he'll crack.
The name will probably be a pun on Marilyn Mayhem. I haven't decided yet. That was incredible. That might be the best that the best of the third question has been for a while. I was pretty proud of the one that we made Luke do. I was pretty proud of that one, the third question.
No, yeah. That was a fairly obscure one. Yeah.
And also barely related to the hobby. But so is this one. That's kind of the point. Also, yes, Dan is a big fan of Jacob Collier, apparently.
Thanks, Dan.
My fellow music nerds can...
Also, to answer your question earlier, no, you are no longer an Orion.
Yeah, I kind of purged the ones that I wasn't checking regularly because I was trying to declutter my life. And look where that got me. It couldn't even cheat.
I literally joined it to figure out this question. So hi, Dan.
It's nothing against their work. It's literally if you just need me. It's
so many discords.
Mm-hmm. No. I get how it is. I used to be in as many as I could find, and oh man, that was a lot.
Yeah. There's like a weird obligation almost to like stay in discords. It's hard to deal with. Mm-hmm. Anyway, recentering for our final topic here. I kind of want to get your opinion on some of the stuff that's going on with Hasbro, because that's kind of the big news, and it keeps cycling back around, and it keeps coming back differently, and you've made some great commentary videos on what different companies are doing, where they're headed. We just got an interview.
Build me back up. Yes, build me back up.
Yeah. No, I just got to I gotta rebuild the hype here. CEO of Hasbro, Chris Cox, said in an interview recently that he sees Hasbro as more of a gaming company first. And last episode, you actually reported on them cutting costs on Nerf products. Just when I'd say it seemed like things were getting better for Nerf products, kind of coming out of the original Elite 2.0 range that started a lot of the concerns about product quality. And of course, we were just talking about gel and how they sort of introduced the Pro line with gel blasters, and are doing all this legal shenanigans to protect a product line that I feel like can't be making them that much money. What is your take on Hasbro's direction for Nerf? Would be question one.
Yeah, I mean, you hear game, and you hope that translates to Nerf, meaning more game, like games that they organize, meaning Nerf ball confirmed. Like, you hope that whatever they invested into that doesn't go to nothing. You would hope that in some way, I mean, that's what you could reach for.
You would want that, but I don't think, like, I know that they're pushing Nerf ball. They're really trying to make it a, like, it's supposed to be a sport.
Right.
And Chris really identifies, you know, he comes from Wizards of the Coast, and I think he really identifies as a gamer.
Oh, man.
Capital G
gamers
gamer.
In this hobby. Yeah.
So one of the fascinating things in that article is that he claims that he has a weekly D&D session with his friends, with his, like, middle-aged friends, which was, I'm not going to say that that's bad. I, like, if that's true, that's kind of great, honestly, that, like, the CEO of Hasbro actually plays D&D on a regular basis. I think that's a great thing.
A good sign.
But also, you know, he's not playing Nerf on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
As far as we know.
I think Nerf also came up all of, like, twice in the article. It was just kind of like only it only once. Mentioned because it happened to be something Hasbro owns. Mm-hmm.
The interview was done at a tabletop convention, so I don't expect them to focus on Nerf in a thing like that. But I do think that taking the things that he said in that interview and putting them in the context of the larger things that are going on with Hasbro lately is very important to kind of understand where the company is trying to pivot. And beyond that, kind of wondering, like, looking at the state of our hobby and wondering how much we've asked this before, but, like, how much that really matters to what we do. I feel like internally within the hobby, it doesn't really matter. It's kind of frustrating and sad to watch it go that way. But, like, in terms of the people in the hobby now who are doing hobby-grade stuff, it doesn't matter that much. It's kind of a bummer to maybe to not have like new integration stuff, but like that is a specific slice of the modding hobby, right? Like it's not the whole hobby. It's important, but I do think that it's negative for intake of new people into the hobby.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. That's what I was going to say. It's the basically Nerf, you cannot deny that they have the most pull with their name. You love them or hate them. You know the name. Everything is Nerf to the outside world. Maverick is still the greatest Nerf blaster of all time. Mark Rober made a video about it. So I saw that, and then I got curious about Nerf, and here I am. So, yeah, anything that impacts Nerf in that regard could impact the new folks who find the hobby, because oftentimes they still describe it in terms of existing Nerf IP. And yeah, exactly how I talked about last episode, or one before this one. It's like no one wins when you got to be determining, like, okay, how are we going to reduce our costs without reducing quality, guys? We're not reducing quality from this point. Right. We already reduced it. We're not going to reduce it anymore, I'm sure, sure. You're like, yeah, it's really hard to see any positives out of it because, like, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to buy more so that they can get more money and do more stuff? Are we the bad guys? Like, the consumers are the problem? Yeah, obviously, the up to this point, their darts make them some good money, I'm pretty sure, compared to blasters, right? Like, you always sell the refill packs of darts, buy their expensive darts, because that's a good cash cow. I'd probably assume that selling more darts is what they'd rather do, similar to selling Magic cards, cheaper to produce, higher markup. This is not really based off of any finite data, but you look at the prices and you kind of get, because Nerf darts notoriously disappear. So you got to buy more. You only need one blaster.
I've always wondered if the inaccuracy of Nerf darts wasn't intentional for that reason. You know, like, you go through more of them and you lose more of them. I'm not, obviously not the first.
They're also just known
to
increase your FPS numbers to begin with. So it'll look better when they claim that it can hit 70 feet per second or other stuff, but they're also just inaccurate.
Right.
So it like does both of probably what they wanted to achieve there.
I had a conversation with someone about Nerf camo ammo recently and how exciting that was when I first got it, and looking back, how silly we were. But how proud I was to actually still have like most of those darts when I got them. You're like, whoa, this is so cool. And then you just see how ingenious and just devious of an idea it was. And you can just, I guess, be happy that it didn't continue to that extent. Like, we got digital camo, like blue, but the real, like, the legendary camo ammo, like streamlined camo ammo, you want your darts back? Wrong. Buy more. And it was, like, already marked up. So I think if they're going to go any direction, bring back camo ammo. Just gloves off, show us what you've got. Like, at least give us something fun, and then we can all agree, like, we see what you're doing. Eh, interesting looking dart.
I think it's going to be a tough one, because when you look at, like, kind of in that interview, the biggest pull was changing it to be gaming and then toys. So toys were always coming, are more of a secondary thing for them. And you look at the fact that they own games that are like Baldur's Gate. They own that. And that was like the first video game that is considered, like, it just swept the whole, like, every award, and they, it was a first game that was considered to be like a quadruple A game and stuff. And, you know, you're fighting a pretty uphill battle here because of how much money, you know, your return is going to be on selling a product that takes time. You know, you got to machine it, you got to get the molds, and you got to, you know, get the packaging and ship it out. There's all this overhead cost just to get the product out and then hope that people are going to buy it. But a game, once it's been done and all that money's already been paid, the game will just continuously make money. It doesn't have a shelf life. It's something that, you know, if they want, they could quickly just refresh it as well. They could do a new patch. They could do an add-on. They can do whatever. Games have a really big market share. And I remember he was going over something about the fact that games are to a point that it actually, the demographic is as young as 3 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you're talking about getting, because there's no safety a lot of times for a lot of stuff, because they even own the copyrights to Peppa Pig. You know, they own that IP. Yep. So they have things that are geared for children all the way up to...
I can't wait for the Peppa Pig role-playing game.
No, right? But, like, you know, there's such an uphill battle to really fight that. And he was even toying on, you know, using AI that builds off of all of the IPs that they own, because that means they don't have to worry about, you know, it's a respectable way to use it, because they're just pulling from IP they've had for decades upon decades. And...
Yeah, the AI discussion was really interesting. There's been so much kerfuffle about people making accusations about Hasbro using AI to design blasters, which does not – that's – AI's not there. Like, AI doesn't work like that, right? It's just a – you know, you can't get it to design – it can't make hands. How is it going to design a functioning slam fire mechanism, right?
Nerf and other companies have done renders before. Now that it just looked a little bit weirder,
yeah,
people were like, aha, AI confirmed. And you're like,
right,
huh?
yeah.
And so it's interesting to hear Chris actually talk about AI and give this really specific — this was where the thing came out that he like plays D&D consistently, because he was saying he uses AI generation to make some of the like imagery and like text for his games, just because it's fast and like none of it's monetized. It's just he's trying to generate stuff for his game, and this is the quickest way to like give it a description and then like, oh, it's not quite right, give it a different description. But there's really no evidence that it's being used to design
blasters. It's really not.
Or toys. Which is such a different monster.
And for than that Nerf kind of stuff. Gaming, you know, we've seen those probably not do very well either. Trying to see like, okay, well, so what does gaming mean like with a Nerf twist? Right. Not great.
We saw the stuff on like the Wii and things like that. You know, the old.
Yeah. I have a copy of that.
That's Nerf probably games. Okay Home compared FPS. To yeah.
Newer yeah, the stuff. Old games. Yeah, well, I talked about it, and I keep seeing them a lot of times in Discords. A lot of, you know, younger people will be like, I really wish they would have made this, and they'll pull a blaster that was in one of these Nerf titles, right, and then never hit the shelf, and I'm like, that would be a great option. Why not tie in blasters that you have on here, no matter whatever it is, right? Like,
yum.
Because it's a way to tie in to a franchise or to a game title or something, right? People are having the Roblox stuff. Roblox all of a sudden finally is getting tied into the Nerf brand. It's a great way to connect two things, because not only can you have it play the game and enjoy it in the digital space, but now you can have the actual item in the real space. And it's like, again, that's a way to sort of branch out and pull people into the hobby as well. It has to start, hopefully. I don't know. The article didn't really tell us anything about that. Like, he obviously, again, Nerf wasn't really brought up. It was just more of how much he's pivoting towards that, the gaming side, like the gaming section of what Hasbro's doing.
Well, and you know, we're all fans of the Halo Needler here.
Yeah.
Right. Like, oh, that's something I am planning on bringing to Mayhem, Brett. I have two of them now.
Oh, there you go. Halo 2 experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I'm excited to have a lot of AA batteries.
Lipo mod.
But yeah, exactly. But well, yeah, probably not. Honestly, that sounds more annoying. But yeah, like stuff like that. Just, you know, I say that and then I realize how disappointing a lot of the Minecraft and especially the Dungeons and Dragons things were. But the idea of having a replication of something from your favorite game, you know, that is functional and works well, is very enticing. So I would love to see them do more of that. I wouldn't kill me if they did some sort of like, you know, the Needler was almost like a prop quality replica in a lot of ways. Like, it's about as close as you can get to that with a retail product, I think. I'd love to see them do more of that. So
it does maybe seem like it was fun to have Nerf tie-ins into other games, So yeah, like mm-hmm. yeah, if they can sell skins into other stuff, it's unique. Yeah, it's really hard to see anything from there and be like, yeah, this looks like a positive for Nerf.
Listen, if you can like, throw, I was gonna say, if you can throw a rapid strike into a Call of Duty game, done. I'd do it.
Right? Yeah, I mean they did that with Halo Infinite with the tie-ins, which is why I'm kind of confused as to why they didn't do more. If you got one of the respective blasters, you'd get a skin or a shader as they're in Halo Infinite that you can play. For example, for the longest time, my assault rifle in Halo was the Nerf assault rifle. It had a little dart keychain on the side of it and everything.
The dart keychain.
Or
I think
in
you get...
Destiny, when I play Destiny 2, I have the Gallerfoam skin, so it looks like the Nerf Gallerhorn.
Right. I have the code for the assault rifle on my desk, and I play every Halo but Infinite, so I just have never put
Infinite
the
has
code.
Gotten a whole lot better, so it's not a bad time.
I know.
We're talking Halo
like,
now.
I like
what do you guys
my
think is going to be in the
I
guess?
I like my Reach
tomorrow.
Custom games.
The thing I will say, though, which I don't necessarily have anything to back this up at, but I almost wonder if what we haven't been seeing over the last couple of years has been like an experimentation with this direction through the brand to see what that would look like. I mean, we had the games. Those didn't do well. We had game blasters. The tie-ins, almost everyone, our hobby side, kind of just kind of yelled them out in a way and kind of just were like, no, it's poo-poo. Then... We have the Fortnite blasters. Those seem to do well with kids. Okay,
right.
they're more like actually good. I almost have to wonder if over the years of us just complaining over stuff like it doesn't have paint on both sides, that eventually they just kind of got. Clearly, the hobby does have an impact on stuff, but I almost have to wonder if they haven't. We're not even included into the Nerf half of the equation now, and so now they're redirecting to the kids who don't care as much if it's cheaper, so they can cheap out on the brand. The kids will still buy it.
Right.
And then the reason we have something like Nerf Pro is that's specifically where they're catering to us. So they're making less of those, but they're in theory stuff that we won't complain about. So that way we're probably not review bombing whatever they see as their product that's meant for a different market.
Interesting.
And these cheaper products are designed specifically just only for that market. Cheap enough for the parents to buy for a kid, and it gets them the money they want, and then when they grow out of them, it doesn't matter. They invested much less time into developing a whole like series like Alien Menace or any of Zombie Strike or anything else. They don't have to spend as much developing that brand, so if it does flop, it's fine, and they can just move on. It's just a running small theory I have, and I can kind of feel it. I'm not sure that's what's going on, but it kind of feels like that's what's going on. I don't know.
No, I think that that's a fair theory. There has been sort of a interesting level of influence, I think, that NerfTube has had on the products that get made and how people respond to them. Obviously, in the vast, wide world of sales, I don't think that its impact is necessarily, you know, there's an impact. There's an impact. Obviously, there are many, many people who do not watch these videos. But enough kids see them and tell their friends, like, oh, the rough cut is bad because it broke. And, like, meanwhile, they fix the rough cut behind the scenes and it doesn't... Or not the rough cut, the warden. The bad rough
actually,
cut.
Yes.
Actually. Actually. Anyway. I think there's some validity to that theory for sure. But time will tell. And we will see what cost cutting means to Hasbro, beyond what the what we found in that article last episode. But with our last little bit of the show today, I like to have a little fun roundtable discussion, and we can actually consider our ability, the ability maybe to go back in time to when not just Nerf but the other companies may have been making decisions that we liked a little bit more. I would like you to imagine a situation where you have a single-use, two-way trip time machine, but for some reason it can only travel to big box store toy sections. What era of blasters are you traveling back to for a quick shopping spree, and why? If there's other toys you want to pick up, that's fine too.
Oh, that's an interesting question. I'm conflicted here because either way, I get a lot of what I want. It just depends on what it is. So my two answers would be either the exact Black Friday that we had the Crimson series launch, Crimson Longshot and stuff.
Just go
obviously.
Get the whole I mean, if you just want
because
to get rich
the thing
quick.
Is with that as well is that on top of the Crimson series, Bionicle was in the stores, and you also had the Lego Batman series, the original line, in the store all at the same time. But if I went for like 2014, 2015, 2016 in there, I could get Strifes, I could get the Alien Menace line, Zombie Strike with some of the Slingfires still in the store, right. Rapid Strikes, they everything, including like the good Rival Blasters, like a lot of the early really good ones. The Nemesis had just came out. So I don't know. I think I'd go with the earlier one, though. I really want a Red Longshot. Like,
I usually go pretty late, but I'm going to go right now. I'm going to go full nostalgia. I want to go back to my childhood and get all the stuff that I couldn't get. That packaging just holds a special place. Those boxes with the green highlights, the like, you know, like mid to late 90s stuff. Balzooka, bow and arrow. I had a bow and arrow. Always wanted the Balzooka. Always wanted, you know, some of the early Dart stuff. I would go back and stock up on that stuff just because that, you know, that play level as a kid was everything I needed. I loved it so much. And that stuff's hen's teeth now, extremely rare, hard to find.
Yep. Oh, that's a right? tough one for me because I feel the same way. It's hard because I like the era. I had a friend who had that bow, the same one that you have. And I always wanted one, and my parents never would buy me anything that was Nerf because they're like, oh, we're not going to spend the money on the ammo. You're going to lose that stuff. You're just going to lose it. So they would never get me any of that, but I always wanted it because my friend always got the stuff. And that's kind of like one of my first picks is that era of stuff. Even like later on when you started getting Ultimators and like Pulsators and stuff like that, those kind of guys that were like later 90s, like starting to get into like early 2000s, and some of it are also really good. It's right. tough. It's tough between all these eras because there's a lot of good stuff in between all of them. And
yeah,
man,
that was going to be, I had two potentials. One was going to be, yeah, go back for Mattel Ultimator and like Maximizer. But I can't even remember like where those were sold because I don't think I was paying attention at the time. But obviously, given how rare they are and expensive markups now, it'd be cool to have those and like the missiles in package. And if not, and if I jumped to the wrong time and got it completely wrong, I at least know I could jump back and get Whiteout. Just that would be a little bit easier, so you can say, because I was aware of Whiteout at the time it was released, but I was ignorant. So I could go back and correct a mistake and just hold on to a few things, keep them in package, make them look nice, or maybe take them out.
I mean, hey, with the Maximizer, you could recreate a Halo Infinite.
I could do that. That's a deep cut. That's also a fun idea. Also, just because like I know that when they pop up now, they are significantly more expensive and they're delicate. So it'd be cool to like use one at the time and not worry about it breaking. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, the experience of having it at the time that it was made is very different from the experience of having it now.
In theory, if you think about, if you brought a bunch of them back to the future with you that are new in box, it means you can safely experiment with them because it's not like it's the only one you got. In theory, maybe the hobby would be willing to find ways to replace the internals, make them cool at that point, if they have the spares, you know?
True. I'm sold. Let's do it.
All right, let's get started on that time machine then, and we can
get cracking.
Get cracking on it. That was a nice sort of meditative, nostalgic ending to a pretty crazy podcast recording session. Thank you so much for coming on today, Brett. Really, really a delight. Had a lot of fun confusing you with our ridiculous trivia questions. And
there's some strong ups and downs today.
will you please, everybody listening to this knows who you are and where to find you, but tell them anyway, if they aren't already following you everywhere they should be, where can they find you?
Typically, you can find me on YouTube, bray.narf, because, you know, if you use Nerf, they come after you. Same thing on Instagram and, I guess, TikTok, but you're not going to find much there, so those are the two big ones.
Sweet. Anybody else got anything going on people need to know about? Vile, Grim?
I'm probably modding my Merge Masters blaster as you're listening to this.
I don't really got much going on, but you should check that out. It's a real treat.
It's getting impressive.
Vile Stream is where most of us are hanging out most of the time.
Come on over
to Twitch. And with that, I think we're good. Great podcast recording session, folks. Have a great night.
Bye.
I'm gonna go cry.